Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I thank God for giving me this opportunity, and I thank Him for allowing all of us to come together week after week to explore the Word of God together. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 15th verse. And the title of our lesson is, God cannot love you no more than He loves you right now. I'm going to go ahead and put a song on, come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we'll explore the Word of God together. Our song tonight, the title of it is Grace, and it's by Charles Jenkins.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Yeah.
title of that song was Grace by Charles Jenkins. In the song, he was letting us know that God's grace is sufficient. God wants you to know that he has you in the palm of his hand. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And nothing can separate you from that powerful, everlasting love of God. God has always loved us more than we loved ourselves. And now it's time to go to the throne of grace. And I'm going to lead us in prayer on tonight. And then we'll explore the word of God together. Dear heavenly and powerful and all-knowing and loving God, we come to you tonight, dear God, because there's no other help we know. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thanking you for what you have done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives. God, we realize that your grace is sufficient. God, we realize that you are with us all the way. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for your Son Jesus and your Holy Spirit, who you allow to live and to dwell and to be within us as we go through this thing called life. Heavenly Father, we're giving you honor, glory, and praise because you're worthy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Wednesday night Bible study, and I ask that you touch and bless each and every person that calls in, and even those who are using the internet to look at it. Lord, I don't believe it's no accident. Lord, I believe your will is being done. And Lord, I want to just thank you for giving me the opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the callers. And I thank you for those who wanted to call and didn't or forgot. But Lord, please bless us in the blessings that we are in need of. Lord, teach us and let us truly understand the love of Christ, because then and only then can we enter into rest. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you are going to do, and all of the provisions that you're providing for us, all of the blessings that you have mapped out in your word, and all of the promises you promised for us. Lord, you're such a good God, a loving God, our everlasting Father. You are our high tower, Lord, and we can't make it without you. Lord, I pray that you open the hearts, the minds of the people that's listening to your word. Lord, I realize that I'm only a vessel, and it is you that I give permission to speak through. Spirit, please have your way with this lesson on tonight. Let the word that go forth not return void, but let it accomplish what it was sent out to do. Give the people illumination and revelation that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your holy word. And we have to know that the word of God is our strength. And as we study and as we live and as we walk and as we be, we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. Lord, we just going to praise your name. We're going to say glory, hallelujah unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Thank God. Thank God. Well, as I said earlier, the title of our lesson tonight is God Cannot Love You No More Than He Loves You Right Now. Anything you may be thinking in your mind, you could erase all of it, because God cannot love you no more than He loves you now. We're coming from Romans, the 5th chapter. And our background is, why does God love us? You know, and if we look at the title of our lesson, that God can't love us no more than He loves us right now, we can begin to understand. You know, I believe that the reason so many people goes around heavy hearted. Because they truly don't understand the love of God. You see, this is a short question. Why does God love us? It is the most profound question ever asked. And I come to tell you, no human would ever be able to answer it or understand it sufficiently. Because God's love is so great. It's so mass, it's so full, it's so much that sometimes in our little minds we can't comprehend it. You see, but one thing is certain. God does not love us because we are lovable, obedient, we're not forgiving people. Most of the time we're not even kind. And he's not loving us because we deserve his love. We have to get that out the way first and understand that. If anything, the opposite is true. You see, we are so hard on ourselves and can never enter into total rest. God didn't want the people to still be bounded by the law because it was tiresome and crumbled, and, you know, it had so much baggage with it. And he said he would make a more excellent way because he wanted rest. He took 7 days to create everything. And he also, out of 7 days, with just only 7 days of his creation, he designed one for rest. So that should tell us something, that God desires us to enter into rest. You see, God loves us when we study more, okay? And he still loves us if we study less. Because, you see, studying and learning is for you. Studying and learning don't make God more God. And it doesn't make him love you more. Studying helps you to learn to love yourself, as God is revealed in it for you. Because you will never know who your maker is until you know. You will never know who you truly are until you know who your maker is. You see, God loves you even though he gives judgment. He issued out wrath, anger. He's a jealous God, and yes, he will exhibit fury. But God loves you so much. That's necessary part. And because of the anger and the wrath of the fury, it doesn't mean that God is not total love. But all of those things is necessary, and yet he loves us fully. You see, God loves us so much because, first of all, he is love. And, you know, for us, the wrath and all of those things, you remember the children of Israel, all that he did for them. They mess up, he come back. That's love. They mess up again, he show up again. That's love. And even today, the children of Israel, the Jews, are still his chosen people, his royal nation. And they say anything you want to know concerning the end time and when Jesus coming back and all of these things, you have to look to Jerusalem, God, holy city. God loves you when you're obedient. And he could love you when you he does love you when you're disobedient. And he don't use those things up. Sit down and take score, use it to do anything for you. Because you have to understand, there's consequences in place for those things. And you will reap your consequences but it's all under the watchful eye of love of God. Your consequences for your sins and your disobedience is going to be handled here on earth. He's not going to wait for you to get to heaven and chastise you for a sin. So because your sins is developed out of the flesh, they're going to be recompensed by the flesh, with the flesh. God also told us in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the spirit, but after the flesh. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You see, God knew we was going to get it twisted in our mind and not fully understand the clearer picture. You know, so we walk around and we put so much emphasis on the wrong things that we can't experience the love. People look at other people and see what they're doing, and some people could almost swear that that person's going to hell. And, you know, many times we are taught and we are always looked at and looked down on as if they're not doing this, if they're not doing that, they should be doing this or they should be doing that. God said he's the only righteous God, the only righteous judge. And God never told, you know, people say, well, I can't judge nobody. No, you don't judge the person, you judge the sin. And the reason God said that he is the righteous judge, because you could only look at the outside. God looks at the heart. And God judged the heart of a man. And you are judging what you see with your eyes. You have to remember, God loves you. He always will, and he promised to never stop. Just like they say, you know, there's nothing that you could do could separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. If sin could separate, your current sins could separate you from the love of God, then the word of God would have said it. Stop beating up on yourself. Sit back and relax. And let the love of God dwell in you and from you. You see, God created us in his image. He didn't create us when he said the image for us to look like him. Because God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But when God said he created us in his image, he wanted us to be his sons and daughters, and he be our heavenly father. And he wanted us to take the characteristics and the attributes of him, and that's how he wanted us to live in the kingdom with one another. You see, God is love, and if you take on the image of God, then you would be lovable. You would have love in your heart, first of all, for God, and second of all, for mankind, and third, have love for yourself. Take on the image of Christ. Take on the image of God. The image, the attributes, the character. God allowed Jesus to have a ministry for 3 years, and he walked, he talked, he was an example, and he showed us how God wants us to live. So be the best that you could be. And you see, once you truly understand the love of God and how he loved you so much in season, out of season, when you're good, when you're bad, when you're doing what you should, when you're doing what you shouldn't do, that's some powerful love. And it should make you love on him. And when you love on God, you begin to love him with all your heart, your soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's love. So I think what I'm really trying to say is we need to understand the love of God. And God doesn't love you no more now than he loved you then. Because he demonstrated that love. How much does God love us? God allowed his son to suffer and die for us. Hallelujah. He allowed his son to go to the cross, be beaten, pierced in the hand, put thorns on his head, carried a cross. Hallelujah. For you and for me. Now that's love. And if you really think about it, while we were yet in our sin, doing it any kind of way that we wanted, any way and anyhow we wanted, God came looking for us. If God could accept you when you were in that state and brought you over and immediately all the benefits and the promises, you know, he don't work on no tenure. You're his. The one that are joined tonight and the one that joined 50 years ago, God is no respecter person. That's love. But while we were yet in our sin, he did that. You know, the state of mankind since the fall is one of rebellion and disobedience. You see, Jeremiah 17 says, he described the man's inner condition. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our innermost being is so corrupt by the sin that we don't even realize the extent to which sin had tainted us. You see, in our natural state, before we met Jesus, we did not seek God. We did not love God. We did not desire God. And you might say, well, then how then is it possible for a holy, righteous God and perfect God love us? God wanted us to be his people. He wanted a people that he could love on because he is love. And it was his desire that they would love back on him, that they would give him glory, that they would walk in his son's image, that he would be our heavenly father and we would be his children. Since God's essential nature is love, he demonstrates his love by lavishly loving on us, an undeserving people who are in rebellion against him. And that's agape love. Agape love is a love of, and you know he did that when he had allowed his son to pay the price on the cross, the penalty for our sins. And he did that to draw us to him, by forgiving us of our rebellions against him, and by sending his son, by sending his Holy Spirit. You see, because all parts of the Trinity is here. God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, the Savior, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and our God, is working in this process of love. God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the background that we have tonight. And we're going to go ahead and expound on the scripture And we're going to start in the Romans, the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. We're going to be in the first through the 15th verse. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And the scripture reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulations work patience, and patient experience, and experience joy, and joy make it not a shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which God has given to us. Now, that's another example of his love. And you see this verse start off, we are justified by faith. We have faith, and that faith granted us justification. And that justification, through that, we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. And you see, the scripture also says, by whom also we have access by faith unto grace, and wherein we stand. I hope you have your Bibles and see it. It's so much better when you can see it and read it for yourself. So you see, that's what the scripture, you see, these scriptures are letting us know that the benefits, what are the benefits of believing? If we look back at the scriptures, I could point them out. Justification, faith, peace, grace, hallelujah, the benefits of believing. You see, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the righteousness of God. We could never be righteous enough. We accept Christ, and God extended his righteousness towards us. I sit down and think about that all the time. And what I came up with, if God has extended this great thing of righteousness towards me, he has given it to me, he had extended it to me as a benefit for believing, then it's my reasonable service to walk in the righteousness that he has given me the best that I can. Simple as that. You see, we have received the righteousness of God, which allow us to be at peace with God. You see, there was a battle between God and us. And when Jesus Christ justified us by faith, the battle was over. And God won, and now we are his prized possession, his children, sons, and daughters. You see, and his work is our entire ground for peace. See, he done already did it, and because we not no more odds at God, because the sin separated us from God, so if Jesus took away the sin, that means Jesus bridged the gap between me and God, and now that's how I got access to go to God for myself. I have access to call on the name of Jesus for myself. And you see, that should give me peace, because you see, it's personal now. And you see, he know everything about me, and it's my job to try to know everything about him. You see, in fact, Jesus is our peace. Our guilty sentence is transformed into a sentence of justification and is justified by faith. Hallelujah. Faith, you get justification, then it gives you peace, it gives you access, and it brings you to grace. Hallelujah. Now, that faith has given us access into grace wherein we stand. That's what the scripture says. You see, many Christians begin in grace. Watch this, y'all. But then think they must go on to perfection and maturity by dealing with God on the principle of works in the law. You see, they started by grace. They thank God, you know, for grace. And then they start getting a big head about the works, or trying to condemn you for not working like they think you should work. You see, they have the idea of earning and deserving. So don't never think you read the Bible, you know, God's got the clap. God wrote the Bible. And what's in the Bible is for you. If you never read a Bible again in your life, God is still going to be God. The world is still going to operate as it is. 24 hours is still going to be in a day. 365 days is going to be in a year. And everything is going to be kept moving. But you have to understand what is for you. And when you truly understand what is for you and you begin to do it, you enter into rest and receive the joy of the Lord. Remember, grace is God's unmerited favor towards us. And it is not only the beginning principle for salvation, it is the only way to salvation, and it's a principle for a Christian's life. And then it's also a continuing principle of the things we need to do, is the logical conclusion to such peace and such a standing in grace. We have to continue. That's why it's always say continue in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Continue. Continue. Hold on to the confession of your faith. Because when you do those things and you use the word of God for your strength, you're standing in grace. You see, when we relate to God on the principle of works, trying to get God to love us more, even rejoicing in presumptuous and in imaginary glory, it'll go to us, not to God. Because, you know, some people begin to follow the steps and think they read enough, think they gave enough, you know, think they went to church enough. People take all of these things and it makes them sometimes become a legend in their own mind, and sometimes they be too holy for earthly good. But the point is, yes, all of those things are for you. And yes, they should be done. But don't ever do it to the extent that you giving glory to yourself, because all glory belongs to God. And God can't love you no more than he loves you right now. You see, hope never implied uncertainty. You know, I have a lot of people who think of hope as, you know, wishing for something. But the hope that God gives is not talking about uncertainty. Hope in God is translated as happy certainties. The hope in God is certain. And, you know, the promise of glory is also for us right now in the present. Just because we love God and God loves us more, we will still face. See, that scripture talked about tribulation. We will still face tribulations, many tribulations. Just because we love God, that didn't say he promised you a rose garden. He didn't tell that you wouldn't have trouble. But it's not what come your way, it's who you go through it with. We must know that tribulations are necessary, and evidently because it's in the word of God and God is talking about it, tribulations produce perseverance. we can glory in tribulation because they are the occasion to produce perseverance and endurance. See, God used everything he created to get us to get to his intended purpose. Yes, tribulation is necessary because out of tribulation, some people find themselves in tribulations, others find God. So it's a good thing all the way around. See, God uses tribulations wonderfully in our life. God knows how much tribulation we can take. Watch this. He carefully measures the tribulations we will face. Yes, I may have more than you, but he may know I can handle more than you. And maybe he give you less. You know, but everything that happened, God orchestrated and allowed it. So your amount, a measure of tribulation and mine, if God allowed it or if he orchestrated, it is well. You see, tribulation worked. If you take your tribulation and work it impatiently, you may miss the fruit of the experience. And it can sour you into hopelessness. You know, like the death of a husband or the death of a loved a child. And people begin to resent God and get bitter and angry towards him. Watch how you operate in your tribulation. Because every tribulation you had before that tribulation, you came through. So you have to do it patient. And tribulation work patience. Because if you didn't came out before, all you need to do is realize and trust the love of God and know he's going to bring out this one too, and you patiently wait on it. That's what we should do. We may wish to have better character and more hope. You know, people say, I need my faith increased. I need... Hallelujah. I need more of God. Well, you have to do the things of God. But even while you're trying to get them, and remember, the provisions are there for you. God is not hiding himself from anyone. God has never walked away from anyone. And when you feel like you're not in the presence of God, I can guarantee you God didn't leave you. You walked away from him. But the point is, if you want more, you have to put in the work. And you see, tribulation is just a way that God planned it, even though he's all love. You see, and hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Y'all didn't buy the Holy Ghost. Whom he has given us. You see, all of this is a way how God communicates his love, and it's through the Holy Spirit. A lack of awareness of God's love often can be credited to a failure to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I encourage each and every one of you tonight to spend some time with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person, the third person in the Trinity. And he have all of the attributes of God. So I'm sure he could be jealous. Hallelujah. Give the Holy Ghost what is due him. Glorify him. Some people say, well, I can't do that to the Holy Ghost because I'm going to be taken away from God. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost is one. God wants you to love on all of him. Jesus is God nature and the Holy Ghost is God spirit. Respect all of them as one and even as individuals. And if we get to verse 6 all the way through 11, the scripture reads, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." God has a timing. His time is not our time, but he's the on-time God. Look what the scripture says. While we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for a righteous man, will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. What is saying? Would you die for a righteous man? Or would you die for an unrighteous man? You'll die for a good man. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, saying when we didn't, you know, we were enemies with God. We were separated from God. But even when we were enemies, we was reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see, when we read that, what it's saying, you know, would you be willing to die for someone but God, but Jesus did? We were yet sinners. God commanded us and sent his son while we was hot messes. And then he talked about joy. See, we saved, we being sanctified, we filled with the Holy Ghost, and we have to live here on earth. We are wrapped up in flesh, so that's where the battle, the warfare is between the flesh and the spirit. God knew this, added a little joy. You see, joy is, you know, something that God gives us through the Holy Spirit and through us being his children and all of that. And you see, joy is different from happy, because happy, which a lot of people look for, I want to be happy. I want to be happy with this. I need, this don't make me happy. I want to be happy. You see, happy is good, because the scripture even says happy is the man. But this scripture is talking about that joy. You see, happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. Follow me, y'all. Happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. You win $5,000, you're happy. You get a brand new car, you're happy. Somebody rob you, you're not happy anymore, you're sad. You see, happy happens when something you want to happen happens. But you see, joy that is given to you, as that scripture said, the scripture, verse 11, said, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord and Savior Christ, by whom we have received atonement." You see, that thing called joy. Joy stands up in the midst of the storm. You see what the other scripture was talking about, them tribulations, and we talked about the wrath and the anger of God. When all of this has happened, joy can stand. Joy stands in the middle of the in the midnight hour when all hell breaks loose, joy can stand. But happy disappears when something that you want to happen, happens. Joy remained in the midst of the trial because you have God on your side. And we are taught daily that is not what come our way. Because believe me, many things will. And it doesn't mean because God loves you less. It doesn't mean that he's playing the karma game. It doesn't mean anything. It could be him maturing you, which is in the scripture. And just like with Job, it could be only a test. He could be trying to get you from one point to another. God is constantly, we say this scripture all the time, God is working it out together for our good. If he's working it out together for your good, where's all of the hardship coming from? And every time the wind blow, you drop to your knees and weak. You can't pray. You can't go to church because you're feeling so bad. Where's the joy in the midst of the storm? You see, God has a master plan, and his timing is perfect. When we were without strength, God sent his son. And to many, it may seem that it was too late, but God's work was done at the perfect time in God's plan. And the scripture says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent his son. Now, who will be willing to die for someone else? Not you or I. But the love of God for us, even while we were having our sins, he died. God loves you. And he loves you right now. You know, and see all of those things, studying and helping your neighbor and giving and using your gifts and your talents. All of that is good. And all of them have benefit. Because the Bible says, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you need, that's what you give. That's in the realm of taking care of that. But it has nothing to do with how it can make God love you more, or make God love you less. And God already told you, I have rewards waiting for you on the other side. I have 5 crowns of glory waiting for you. I have, Jesus said when he come back in a rapture and he bust through the clouds, he said, I come back with my reward in my hand. Yes, if you do those things, you will be rewarded. Yes, if you don't do those things and you save, your salvation is locked in. Don't ever let nobody think you lost your salvation because whatever you did, they thought it was so gross that you can't be saved. Everybody walk around and press their nose up at the homosexuals and say that's abomination. But I read in the Bible, there's hundreds of abominations in the Bible that God has called abomination. And I'm not making no judgment one way or the other, but I'm telling you how you point one figure, you got folk coming back, and how you going to pick one sin and send it all the way to hell, and then you wallow in your sin, and it's all right. Do the best you can. I'm asking you to love on God like he loved you, which is, as Romans said, it is only our reasonable service. And if we look at our last scriptures, y'all, therefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And y'all can write that down in your book. All have sinned. And one sin ain't no bigger or worse than another sin. So you can throw that out the window as well. I'm talking about it's time to love on God and sit down and do the things of God and understand your reading to see God. God reveal himself in the Bible. If you want to know more about your maker, read the Bible. But when you read it and the information and the knowledge you receive is for you, it don't make God no more God. It don't make God smile so much and say, I'm going to give her 6 points of love. He's not loving you no more than the person who read less. And that's what's going to create rest in our lives. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him to come? Adam was there to show us that one would come after Adam better than Adam. But, 15, not as the offense, we also is the free gift. We also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many died, and it's, you know, have the imputed sin, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Adam's sin brought sin in the world. Jesus took away the sin of the world, of all those who believe on him. You see, the keeping of the law did not bring salvation. And guess what, y'all? Breaking the law did not bring death. Death is the result of Adam's sin and of the sin we and the sins we commit. Even if you don't resemble Adam's sin. You see, look at this. Over 100 years, the law wasn't even given. Watch this. 1,000 years ago, the law wasn't even given. Because, you know, from Adam to Moses, Moses got the Ten Commandments in the wilderness, and he went on Mount Sinai and looked at the face of God and came down with the tablets. And I'm fixing to go into something else because I really feel like it, but we don't have time tonight, and that's another story. But the point I'm saying is Adam sinned. Well, Adam, before the law, when from Adam's time to Moses, there was no law. But yet people died. So it wasn't that they didn't obey the law and died. But the sin was already there. It was imputed to mankind from Adam's act. You see, Adam is called the first Adam. He was a pattern. He was a counterpart of Jesus. Just as the first Adam was a representative of created humanity, so is Christ. Christ is called the second Adam, if you ever hear it. They call Jesus the second Adam. He is the representative of the new spiritual humanity. We were all born into Adam's physical family, the family line that led to certain death. We have inherited his guilt, a sinful nature, which gives us the tendency to sin and God's punishment. Because of Jesus, however, we can trade judgment for forgiveness. We can trade our sins for Jesus' righteousness. You see, Christ offered us the opportunity to be born into his family, spiritual family, and become a child of God. We are adopted in the family of God once we accept Jesus, and we are inheritance. We become heirs and joint heirs, and all the promises of God is our inheritance. Hallelujah. And all of the blessings belong to us, and everything that God has to offer is for us, and God is loving on us. He wants us to rest. He wants us to stop condemning ourselves day after day. I'm not good enough. I didn't read good enough. I didn't pray long enough. Christ offers us the opportunity to be born into his spiritual family, a line that begins with forgiveness. See, Adam's line led to death. Jesus' line is what adds, what began with forgiveness, and it leads to eternal life. I want you to know as I close, God loves you on your good days. He loves you on your bad days. His love is not conditional by your response. God is love, and his love is freely given. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. While you were yet in your sin, he took you in. And he did it that way so no man could boast. It cannot be earned. And like I say, it's undeserved. God will never love you any more than he loves you right now. But I want to let you know, he also will never love you less than he loves you right now. That's our lesson tonight. And God loves you, and so do I. If anyone would have anything to say about the lesson, please press the 1 button on your phone. If someone want to sing a song, or they want to talk about how they know God loves them, if they want to give words of encouragement, if you want to do anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If anyone would like to lead us out in prayer tonight, you could press the 1 button on your phone. God is given an opportunity for you to use this forum for whatever you may have a desire for. But that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that each and every one of you can use the lesson that went forward on the night, and that it can help you in your walk with God. Anyone have anything? And if not, I'm going to close with my favorite scripture, well, one of them. And tonight I leave you with, just as Peter, before he was about to be executed, he knew it was the last writing that he would write. And I look at it and I say, if Peter wrote this, it was the last thing he would ever be able to say to us in his, you know, while he's, you know, working his ministry. I think it's real important. So as I leave you on tonight, 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace, that grace that's sufficient. The scriptures tonight say we stand in grace. Grow in grace, your gift from God that you earned. Well, not earned, but you receive by your faith. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that being said, if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. God really loves you, and so do I. Good night.